Senate will come to order. Messages from the House.
March the 1st, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 468. Concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 42, Coroner Record Confidentiality. Ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. Message number 469, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 190, Electronic Fine Submittal. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill 211, County Memorial Hospital Board Members Removal. Ayes 49, noes 10, excused 1. And House Bill 215, Department of Health Reorganization. Ayes 59, excused 2. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. March the 1st, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 465. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 95, Legislative Committee Membership. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 466, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 100, Cruelty to Animals. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 43, noes 16, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 467, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 139, Health Care Pilot Project Amendments. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 37, noes 22, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Joint Conference Committee reports. Senator Nicholas, are you ready in regard to message number 390 having to do with Senate File 146? Would the clerk read that in at this time, please?
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 149, Teacher Accountability Act, reference House message number 390.
Go ahead, Senator.
I got to read the signatures.
I'm sorry.
Signing for the House, Representative Teeters and Stubson. Signing for the Senate, Senators Nicholas, Escobel, and Jennings.
Okay, now go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move the Conference Committee report for Senate File 146 and ask that you vote aye. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, what we went through the House change provisions, and I think we really took the best of what they had that we thought improved the bill, and then the others were rejected. The things that we accepted that were House additions was Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to the House, there was a provision providing that there would be a report given by the superintendent of trustees annually with respect to those teachers that are not performing well and the activities that they were engaged in to improve their instruction quality. There was a subsequent amendment that was put in by the House that required a report on every teacher. We rejected that, believing that that was really well outside of what we'd expect the normal activities from a superintendent to the board. We kept it limited That is, we fully expect that the trustees will implement rules and regulations to meet the requirements of this act, but that doesn't mean reporting on every teacher, particularly from some of those larger districts. Mr. President, on the House side, they were trying to address an issue that had been identified with respect to suspension with pay. The issue was, under existing statute, there was really no provision to suspend a teacher with pay during an investigation. The only opportunity to do that was after the charges or termination decision had been made. We agreed that that was an appropriate thing to address, but they had addressed it in the wrong place. And in the conference committee report, at the bottom of page 1, the top of page 2, you'll see how we've addressed it. We think that we have addressed that issue, so we really clearly provide now that a teacher can be suspended with pay during the time that there's an investigation being conducted, but no longer than 30 days. So if you don't have the, you can't just say we're going to investigate you indefinitely. So you have 30 days to complete the investigation, and then if you move forward into a termination process, you can continue to suspend with pay until the outcome of the hearing is concluded. The provision for termination of a teacher without pay begins after the hearing order, and it's really for a vehicle to sanction a teacher, something less than termination. The next change is that we rejected all of the provisions that the House had put on to change or alter the years of service required to obtain tenure. And it's one of those things, when you're talking about whether it ought to be a 3-year tenure period or 4-year period, there are people on both sides of the issues. On the one hand, some folks would like to see that a longer time for purposes of making it harder to earn that title or that status. Other folks would say, well, look, if you extend it out 4 years, if you have a bad teacher, then that's 4 years, another year that those students would be subjected to that lower quality of instruction. On our side, we had really leaned towards saying a teacher ought to be able to gain the skills necessary to achieve tenure status in 3 years. The House ultimately agreed to that, but the House had also identified a section in the teacher laws that provided for the granting of tenure status to a teacher without going through that 3-year process. And they had stripped that out, and we agreed to strip that out. So we kept with the Senate position with respect to the 3-year period to achieve tenure, but also deleted the provision allowing the board to grant tenure earlier than 10 years. The Senate second reading number 6 was accepted. All that did was take out the reference to the right to appear in counsel. They took that language out. That's now going to appear in the rules and regulations for the Office of Administrative Hearings, so it's not redundant, but also make sure that the burden of proof is language was brought back in, because we had inadvertently eliminated that language. Now we have restated the language, providing that the burden of proof is that the superintendent shall have the burden of proving that the recommendation for termination is based upon reasons provided in the notice of termination. And that language was existing statute. We inadvertently omitted it, and it's back in. The rest of them were really cleanup provisions, Mr. President. I think that to the extent that the House identified issues that were either oversight or problems or improvements, we approved those, and the things that we thought were inappropriate, we rejected. So I would urge that you accept the report and vote aye.
Questions? Discussion? Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee report in regard to message 390, which references Senate file 146, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will please call a roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll. Emmerich. Esquivel. Geis. Hastert. Excused. Hicks. Hines. Jennings. Johnson. Landon. Martin. Meyer. Nicholas. Nutting. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Rothfuss. Schiffer. Scott. Von Flatern. President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report on Message Number 390 in regard to Senate File 146. Yes, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have with us some visitors on the floor, and with your permission, Mr. President, I'll go ahead and introduce them. Mr. President, I've had the privilege to be a member of the board of the Boys and Girls Club of Central Wyoming for 10 years now, and we have with us in both the balcony and on our sides today some outstanding members of both parents and professionals and Boys and Girls Club. And if we can stand, anybody who is here with the Boys and Girls Club today in the balconies, if you'd stand, we'd like to recognize you and give you a warm welcome. If you join me in welcoming them. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. President, also today, each Boys and Girls Club in Wyoming, or a number of them, actually have a go through their membership each year and propose a number of individuals and set them forth in locally to be the Youth of the Year in their local clubs, and then those come down, and ultimately there's a State Youth of the Year, and we have the State Youth of the Year and runners-up with us today, and those are the ones that are seated on the sides on the floor. And Mr. President, if I can, I'd like to introduce them. We have some Junior Youth of the Year with us that are over here. We have Danny Esevez. Did I say it right? Danny is from the Boys and Girls Club of Central Wyoming in Casper. We've got Sean Black, who's with the club at F.E. Warren. We've got Destiny Wilkinson, who's with the Boys and Girls Club in Cheyenne. And Sonora Quarles, who's from Park County. And so these individuals are the Youth of the Year and the runners-up Youth of the Year for the Junior Youth of the Year for Boys and Girls Club for the state of Wyoming. If you'd join and give me a hand for these young people, we appreciate it. When they were standing? Okay. If you got go ahead and stand up so we can get the picture. I don't know if your mom got the picture while they were, you guys are standing up down here. So let's give them the photo op. Okay. Now over here we have our Youth of the Year. And Mr. President, this is a pretty big deal. In fact, I believe the winner gets a scholarship to the University of Wyoming. And so we have the Youth of the Year. And I can tell you that having judged a few of these, Mr. Chairman, they're all certainly deserving. All of them have compelling stories, and I wish we had the time to go through them. But they are just amazing stories, and they're amazing individuals. It's amazing how much sometimes in a young life kids have to overcome in order to get where they are. But they're outstanding examples of what we want in our youth in Wyoming. We have our runners-up are Miranda Kassinger from Powell Cody Club, Park County, right there. And this is Senator Coe. He's from your neck of the woods down there. We have Andrew Wood from Cheyenne F.E. Warren Base, their club. We have Denton Wilson, first runner-up from Casper Boys and Girls Club of Central Wyoming. And we have T.J. Hansen, who's from Rollins with the Boys and Girls Club of Carbon County. And we have Sarah Hill, who is our Youth of the Year for Wyoming. Sarah Hill, who's from the Cheyenne Club. If you join me in celebrating these people. Now, make sure you're standing up long enough for your mom and dad to get the picture. Mr. Chairman, we also have this resolution. Would you like to present that, Mr. President, or do you want me to present it from here?
Why don't you go ahead? You're doing such a good job.
That's an opinion of one, Mr. President, I'm sure. But the Mr. President, we do have from the 61st Legislature of the State of Wyoming a resolution signed by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. And if I may share that, Mr. Chairman, and then we'll present that to Sarah here in just a minute. The 61st Legislature of the State of Wyoming recognizes and honors the Boys and Girls Clubs in Wyoming. A joint resolution recognizing the volunteers and staff of the Boys and Girls Club in Wyoming for their dedication and service to improve the lives of Wyoming's children. Whereas clubs provide professional youth services to help future leaders of Wyoming achieve their full potential. Whereas the Boys and Girls Clubs in Wyoming provide programs in character and leadership development, health and life skills, education and career development, sports and recreation and the arts, and whereas there are 17 Boys and Girls Clubs in Wyoming representing 10 organizations that provide services to over 14,576 of our youth each year. And whereas the clubs provide a positive place for youth by instilling a sense of confidence, usefulness, and belonging. And whereas the Boys and Girls Club in Wyoming develop within all of its members the qualities of sound character, leadership, and willingness to serve. And whereas the Boys and Girls Club National Youth of the Year program is designed to promote and recognize service to club and community, academic performance, and contributions to family and spiritual life. And whereas February the 28th and March the 1st are recognized as Boys and Girls Clubs of Wyoming Youth of the Year recognition days. Now, therefore, be resolved that by the members of the Wyoming Legislature of the State of Wyoming, that the members of the Wyoming State Legislature hereby recognize and commend the Boys and Girls Clubs Youth of the Year candidates and all the youth throughout the state of Wyoming who participated in this worthwhile initiative, and that the resolution is presented to the Boys and Girls Club in Wyoming to recognize the significant role of the club staff and volunteers play in shaping the lives of Wyoming's Youth of the Year. Signed this day, Senator Jim Anderson, President of the Wyoming Senate, Representative Edward Buchanan, Speaker of the House of Representatives. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Senator Perkins.
And if with your permission, I'll present this to Sarah.
Please do. And as Senator Perkins goes over, I would say that it was my pleasure and my privilege to be invited to lunch today with the Boys and Girls Club. I got the opportunity to hear all five of these individuals speak. We know in this body in regard to the power of words, and believe me, I heard power out of the mouths of these children or these young people today, so it did superb. Thank you, Senator Perkins.
Thank you.
Concurrences? Senator Scott, are you ready in regard to message number 467?
Yes, Mr. President.
I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
March the 1st, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 467, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 139, Health Care Pilot Project Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 37, noes 22, excused 1. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments.
Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do concur with House amendments to Senate File 139, and I ask you to vote aye. Mr. President, they did a number of things, had an illustration, Mr. President, of how multiple people can read something and put in words that aren't there to make it make sense. I came in with a drafting error in it where we'd omitted the word standard budget in describing what was allowed, and it got clear over to the House. And I traced it back, and it was my original drafting error, with everybody reading it with those words there when they weren't there. And Chairman Berger caught it. And the Standing Committee amendment there fixed that. They added a not that I'd rather they hadn't, but it's probably appropriate. So they fixed that. They first reduced the evaluation appropriation and then they took it all the way out. They changed the budget around, allowed us to carry over the existing budget, and cut about $1.2 million out of the appropriation as it left the Senate. That will, the net effect of those two things will about cut the number of people that we can enroll in this in half. Mr. President, I don't represent to you that I like that, but I think it will work and serve the purpose that we have, which is to test the benefit design and find the bugs that are sure to be in it and get them out of there. We'll just do it with less people, and I'm pretty sure that will work. So it's a workable proposition. The other thing they did was they took out a provision that would let us look at, okay, how do we deal with it when somebody who's in this program goes to work in the private sector, and maybe we can cut a deal with the employer. They felt that was premature, and it probably is at this point. So they took that out. That doesn't do any real harm going forward. And, Mr. President, basically the program is intact. It moves forward on a pace that wasn't as fast as it wanted coming in, but is as fast as the Senate passed. And I think we'll get the job done. We'll continue to develop this as an alternative to the big expansions that without cost control in the national reform, and will give us an alternative to the proposals that are in that reform. And so I think on balance we got a workable product out of the House, and I recommend that the Senate vote aye and approve it.
Questions? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 139, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert excused. Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings? Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 139. Senator Geis, are you ready in regard to message 466 having to do with Senate File 100?
Yes, I am.
I'd ask the clerk to read that in at this time, please.
March 1st, 2011, House of Representatives, message number 466, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 100, Cruelty to Animals. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 43, no 16, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments.
Go ahead, Senator Geis.
Mr. President, I move message number 466. Being the original Senate File 100, and ask you to vote aye. They came up with a substitute bill, and they came up with a better idea than what we left sent over to them. What they did, I'll explain the bill, the substitute bill, and then I'll go back and walk through the amendments. What they did with the cruelty of animal bills, down on page 1, line 12, is they moved it under Wyoming Statute 63203, cruelty to the animals, penalties, litigations on matters of destruction. Then they went on line 15, there's a creation of cruelty to household pet animal protection account. The fund shall be an account as provided by law. Funds in the account are to continuously appropriated to the Attorney General's to reimburse county law enforcement agents for eligibility expenses regarding household pets. And they go on down, and the Attorney General shall develop rules and regulations to establish eligible expenses and to determine how county law enforcement agent will be reimbursed for the cost of any household pet cruelty case. And they go on down, that the amount could up to be 90% in any particular case. Any reimbursement under this subsection shall be contingent upon available funds. All funds in the account may be used for and are contingency appropriated for eligible expenses authorized to make under this subsection. The cruelty to the household pet animal protection account shall be a permanent, non-reversing account within the state auditor's office, as used in subsection P. And then they go on down, and I'll talk about line 18, 19, 20 with the amendments they put in. And the household pet shall not include any livestock or definition of Wyoming Statute 23-1102A, Roman numeral 16. And then you go over here on page 3. A person commits household pet cruelty, he keep household pets in overcrowded environment, displays or inability to recognize or understand the nature or of such a reckless regard for continuation under such of which the household pet is living, or little 3, keep household pets confined in conditions which constitute a public health hazard. And then on line 14, section 2, they appropriated $100,000 from the general fund to the cruelty household pet animal protection account under created by section Wyoming Statute 6-3203O. Notwithstanding any other provisions of the law, this appropriation shall not be transferred or expended in any other section. And then we'll go to the amendments on they adopted the substitute bill, and then on page one, line four, appropriation is inserted, providing for a report. Page 3, line 14, after 2, insert A. And then on page 3, after line 19, insert B. Prior to November 1st, 2012, the Attorney General shall provide a report to the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee, Joint Ag and State Land, Public Land and Water Resource Committee, and the report shall identify possible funding mechanics, including restitution, private contribution for the cruelty to household pets, protection account, the amount of funds needed, number of cases which in reimbursement was provided under this act, and another benefit of beneficial information as determined by Attorney General. And then they moved, changed the date from July 1, 2000 to immediately upon completion of all acts. And then the big change is on page 2, line 18, after cat, delete balance aligning, insert rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mouse, gerbils, ferrets, birds, fish, reptiles, amphibian, and I don't know what, or any other species of domestic animals sold, transferred, or retained for the purposes of being kept as a pet in a near house. Then we go down on page 2, line 21, you delete domestic animals. Page 3, line 4, delete overcrowding, insert a manner that results in chronic or repeated serious physical harm to the household pets. Then on page 2, line 12, they put in funds, insert upon showing the agent had made responsible effort to seek reimbursement from the offender of the expenses incurred by the agency as permitted by law. And that's it. And I'd ask your favorable vote on House Bill 100, message 466.
Questions? Senator Burns?
Mr. President, this started out, the big debate we had in the Senate at the time, as I recall, had to do with puppy mills and all this. And so I'm trying to get it clearer from both the bill and the substitute bill that this is, they've doubled it from a $50,000 to $100,000, and it's a continuing appropriation. So it's something that will become part of the permanent budget. So I'm trying to figure out or trying to get some more certainty as to exactly how this money is spent. It's given to the counties for something, and I don't know what the criteria is for a county applying for it. Do they have to have a puppy mill? Do they have to be hoarding a lot of animals? And most counties have animal shelters, so I'm still trying to figure out how this money is going to be spent.
I'm going to go to Senator Driscoll, too, before I go back to the sponsor. Go ahead, Senator Driscoll.
This bill, what it actually does is transfers out of the livestock department to the counties, the small animal part of the livestock business. It's been a drain on their budget, and it's cost money, and basically what it does is creates appropriation on cases as they accrue. They're paid 90% back upon application. It's in the bill for their actual cost. So it leaves 10% of the cost in the county up to the amount that's appropriated in this. The money you have been appropriated, it keeps coming as a special addition into the ag budget of the deal. And this moves it out and puts animal control where animal control should be, which is at a county level. Leaves the ag department handling the ag issues. It's a good bill and it's well written. Thank you.
Second time, go ahead there, Senator Burns.
Yes, Mr. President, for my second time. Well, in fact, then, if we're taking the responsibility from the Ag Department, shouldn't we, rather than appropriating additional money from the general fund, shouldn't we be moving $100,000 from the Ag Department to this fund, rather than just, if they're having less responsibility, they should be spending less money?
Senator Bebout.
President. A good question, and it's not the Ag Department, it's a Livestock Board. And what we're trying to do is clearly delineate between the responsibilities of the Livestock Board to deal with livestock, and then how do we deal with these pets. And you recall the way this bill initially came and where we are now, it was always intended to have the counties be responsible because where the activities occur are out in the counties, and the mechanism in this bill is to set up a way to reimburse the counties should, in fact, they determine that someone is committing animal cruelty. And if you look on page 3, it shows you the two types of items that, in fact, are cruelty, little 1 and little 3. We've deleted little 2. And the reimbursement is a way to deal with this. It's an ongoing thing because the expenses will be ongoing, but we're getting into new territory, new ground, and we're not sure what the costs are. So we started with $100,000. I really think that we should separate out pets from the Livestock Board. The Livestock Board should do what they're intended to do, which is deal with livestock, and this is a mechanism to deal with the pets. You know, we took out the different puppy mills and all that because we got it all complicated. Is it 50? Is it 60? This clearly sets out some priorities, a way to establish this and move forward. I kind of think this will be a work in progress, and later on we may come back and revisit this, but it's a good first step, and I would sure ask the Senate to approve this.
Any other commentary? Chairman, would you like to make further comment? Go ahead.
Well, the comment is it's under the Attorney General's office, not under the Department of Agriculture. It's moved over under there. They're going to write the rules and regulations, and then the county commissioners, like the deal up in Park County that cost, I don't know, $17,000, $18,000, they could come down under their new rules once they get them written and collect some of that money it cost the county to clean up that mess last summer they had up in Park County.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 100. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case. Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
no.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert excused, Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 100. Senator Meyer, are you ready in regard to message number 465?
Yes, Mr. President.
I'd ask that be read in at this time.
March 1st, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 465, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 95, Legislative Committee Membership. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move concurrence on message 465, Senate File 95, and at the request of the minority leader and myself, I would ask you to vote no. Mr. President, there's a couple of technical things that we're going to have, I believe, in the language which was deleted, which was everything concerning the Management Council, to make sure that we can work effectively in the Senate with the agreement that yourself and the minority leader has reached as far as Management Council membership. And so with that, Mr. President, I'd ask the body vote no. We'll go over to the House. We'll see if we can make some technical corrections and bring it back.
Questions? Discussion? Motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 95. You've been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel? Geis?
No.
Hastert excused. Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 29 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 95. I appoint to the conference committee Meyer, Hastert, and Roth. Joint Conference Committee reports, Senator Burns, are you ready in regard to message number 406?
Yes, Mr. President, I am.
I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee report, Senate File 85, Game and Fish Violation Penalties, reference House message number 406. Signing for the House, Representative Moniz, Gay, and Crone. Signing for the Senate, Senators Burns, Bebout, and Landon.
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move message 406, Senate File 85, Game and Fish Violations Penalties. I move the Joint Conference Committee report and ask the committee to vote aye. Mr. President, this is the bill that deals with the third occurrence of poaching becoming a felony. And when the bill left, the two of the amendments that the Senate put on it was changing it from the second offense to the third offense becoming a felony. And then the other concern that the Senate had was to make sure that, let's say, in one occasion some person would shoot, say, three deer or something, that all three couldn't be used as the three amendments, therefore triggering the a felony just from basically one event. So, Mr. Chairman, what the Senate did was we put in language saying convictions resulting from occurrences on the same date shall be considered a single conviction. When it went over to the House, and what the House had the same concern, only they worried they wanted to refine it further, and so they added the language dealing with different species, and it came back for concurrence. We rejected that. So, Mr. President, the committee met, and basically the House and the Senate were trying to get to the same spot. So we basically trimmed the language. We got rid of the House amendment entirely and altered the Senate amendment just a little bit so that it will read that convictions resulting from the same occurrence shall be considered a single conviction. And, Mr. President, I think that's where the Senate and the House were both trying to go with both their amendments. That is what it did on page 2 and page 3. It's basically the same language. So, Mr. President, what the language in the proposed bill now says is, let's say you go out and you shoot three animals or something. That is one occurrence. And so you may get three misdemeanors for shooting the three animals, but as far as being counted toward a felony, it only counts as one misdemeanor. But if on the same date you get in your car and you drive 20 miles and you shoot some more deer, that's a different occurrence. And that will be treated as a different occurrence, and that will be treated as another misdemeanor toward the felony. So, Mr. President, I'd be glad to handle any questions.
Senator Coe?
Just a point of order. I believe the reading clerk read it in that it was signed by Senators Burns, Bebout, and Landon, and I don't see where Senator Bebout signed this conference committee report.
Copy I have indicates what you've said. I would think it would be appropriate that this be read in again so that we have a record of the appropriate signatures on the Senate side. I'd ask that be read in again.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 85, Game and Fish Violation Penalties, reference House Message Number 406, signing for the House, Representatives Moniz, Gay, and Crone, signing for the Senate, Senators Burns and Landon.
Thank you, Senator Coe. I think with that, I'd simply ask that Senator Burns just move that again without further explanation and ask how he'd like to have his vote.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, again, I will move Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 85, reference message 406, and ask the body to vote aye.
With that, Senator Scott, thank you. Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I'm going to try to attract the attention of the real attorneys in the Senate. This is a criminal statute. And in a criminal statute, Mr. President, we need to be precise so that people know exactly what the offenses are and what they can and cannot do and what the penalties are. With the language using occurrences, are we sufficiently precise so that somebody can really distinguish what offense gets what penalty, and at what point do you hit the enhanced penalty, or is that too vague for people to be able to determine with precision what the law requires for the enhanced penalty as opposed to just a simple misdemeanor. So I'm concerned that it might be too vague, but I'm really seeking some advice here from the assembled legal talent in the Senate, which I know to be considerable, as to whether we're sufficiently precise for our criminal statute.
Anyone else that would like to comment? Seeing no one, the motion is the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee on Message 406 in reference to Senate File 85. You've been asked to vote aye, and I'd ask the Chief Clerk to call the roll. Senator Scott?
Mr. President, well, I'm going to filibuster for just a minute in the hopes that we can get some advice. It just struck me that, you know, what is a separate occurrence? You know, they shoot one deer, they walk 100 feet and shoot a second one. Is that one occurrence or two? They shoot one deer, they drive 5 miles and shoot a second one. Is that one occurrence or two? They shoot one deer, they drive 100 miles over in the next county and shoot another one. That one occurrence or two? How do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? That's the concern I have as to whether or not this is sufficiently precise to be a criminal statute. I can see, Mr. President, where they're trying to go, and it makes sense. But I'm not sure, absent defining occurrences, that they've got the job done with sufficient. Again, this is a criminal statute, and you have to be pretty precise in a criminal statute.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and for the Joint Committee report, as far as the term occurrence or occurrences go, the occurrence, we removed the word occurrences that was already in the bill, and the way it left the Senate, it may have been more precise, but from a practical standpoint, it didn't make sense because you could go and shoot 3 or 4 deer and drive 50 miles and go shoot 3 or 4 elk and then go somewhere else and shoot 3 or 4 moose. As long as it was on the same date, it wouldn't count as, it only count as one misdemeanor toward the felony. And that's what we were trying to clear up. And the Senate and the House was trying to do the same thing when they said the same species. But again, you ran into the same problem where you could shoot 3 or 4 deer, drive 50 miles and shoot 3 or 4 more deer over here. And it would still be considered the same occurrence because it was the same date, and that's the way it came back here. We were trying to get around that and get rid of that. Now, as far as if you shoot some deer and then walk 50 yards and shoot some more deer, frankly, that's going to end up being both for the prosecutor and the court to decide exactly was that one occurrence or was that two occurrences. You know, was it on the same can of beer or not?
Senator Perkins.
Yeah, same can of beer. Anyway, rather than open up what we're looking at is I tried to just go in and find some research really quick, and the most analogous I could find where we talk about occurrences is under what they call the habitual criminal statute. There's the little habitual, which is two criminal actions that result in the conviction of 10 years, or three previous criminal actions, you can actually end up with life imprisonment. Not that that applies to this bill, but they're talking about occurrences. And ultimately in that, they find, and they look at, in doing that, talking about habitual criminal statutes, they look to see whether the three previous convictions arose out of one occurrence. And so they look at that, and occurrences are going to be the same set of facts or circumstances. You can be charged with multiple violations or multiple criminal acts arising out of a single occurrence. You could be charged, you know, if you in a home invasion, you could be charged with assault and battery, you could be charged with robbery, you could be charged with breaking and entering. All of those things could be charged out of that single occurrence of that one entry. And so that's what they talk about occurrence. They're talking about an isolated or set of facts. Now, there may be multiple charges that come out of that, but that's a single occurrence. And so I think in the context of this, And obviously there's some room for lawyers and people to disagree probably on how precise that gets. But ultimately, I would think that a single occurrence would be if you were shooting and your bullet went through, you were shooting into a herd and your bullet went through and killed more than one deer, or wounded another deer, or that you thought you were shooting at the same deer and you missed and you hit another one, or you thought you were shooting the same one and you end up shooting the same deer. In that example, out of that one event, I think that's going to be a single occurrence. But If you shoot at those deer and then run to the next ravine and shoot again, I think that's going to be a separate occurrence. Or if you drive 5 miles, whether you drive 5 miles down the road, but ultimately once you kind of break off that encounter, I think, and there's enough of a pause to create a separate occurrence, I think that it's kind of a plain meaning, common sense approach, but ultimately I think that's what we would find, and that's the best I could come up with during the marginal filibuster by the good fellow senator from Natrona County.
Are you ready for the question? The motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on regard to message 406 in reference to House Bill 85. You've been asked to vote aye, and I would request the Chief Clerk to please call the roll. Senate File 85.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert excused. Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Jennings,
aye. Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothbus,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 11 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee report on message 406 in regard to Senate File 85. I have an assignment of a conference committee regarding message 441 having to do with Senate File 124, and that's Senator Esquivel, Senator Johnson, and Senator Christensen. Again, that's in regard to Senate File 124 having to do with overweight and oversized vehicle penalties. Anything else? Majority floor leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, March 2nd.
Are there any announcements? Senator Scott?
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on Senate File 50 will meet as up in the Senate Labor Committee room in a few minutes after we round the House members up. And, Mr. President, I also ask the members of the Senate Labor Committee to meet with me in the back very briefly.
Other announcements? Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Management Council will meet upon adjournment House counterparts to consider interim topic studies of the various standing committees.
Senator Perkins, did you have something for us?
I kind of had a committee announcement, and I'm not sure I haven't really firmed it up yet. But ultimately, I'm going to make, I guess, a tentative announcement for the Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 107, municipal court jury trials is tentatively set for 9:30 tomorrow in SJ1, 9:30 a.m. at SJ1. I'm not sure that's going to come off, but if I don't announce, I don't think we can have it. So,
be on the safe side. Any other announcements?
Mr. President?
Senator Scott?
Mr. President, further announcement on Conference Committee on Senate File 102 will meet again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to see if we've got the compromise right.
Okay. Other announcements? You've heard the motion. All those that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, March the 2nd. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion has carried. We are adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.